Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
March Madness is here. The Razorbacks will play Vermont on Thursday in Buffalo in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Razorbacks are the number four seed in the West region. Vermont, the Catamounts, the winner of the America East Conference, is the number 13 seed in that region. The winner of Thursday's game will advance to play Saturday in Buffalo against either UConn or New Mexico State. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph of Whole Hog Sports. And Scotty is our man on the ground in Buffalo right now. Scotty, what's it like up there?
Well, I'm hoping to see the sun before I come back home. Over the weekend, it is overcast and cold, and I'm a little bit away from downtown Buffalo. Hotel rates were not cheap close to the arena, so we did what we could. Doing good. I got to my hotel 3 hours before check-in, so I got to sit down, and as soon as I opened my laptop, I saw that J.D. Notte had been named a third-team AP All-American. So as soon as I got here, got to work, and excited for the next few days. I went to the NCAA tournament in 2018, but I think I showed up the night before Arkansas's first game and then waited, I think, pretty much all day for Arkansas to get pounded by Butler, and it was a pretty quick trip. Maybe it'll be different this time around, but I'm excited to get going and get started on some interviews on Wednesday.
Yeah, Arkansas keeps getting sent up near the Canadian border for these NCAA tournament games. That one in Detroit, this one in Buffalo. You know, usually they try to keep the top four seeds close to home. That's the objective of the NCAA tournament selection committee. But it's not always doable, you know, based on where sites have been pre-selected several years in advance. And Arkansas and Texas Tech are really the two top four seeds who got the shaft, if you will, in terms of, you know, being sent far away from home. The Razorbacks, of course, going to Buffalo. Texas Tech, there was a regional in Fort Worth, but Baylor and Kansas, who were both number one seeds, they get sent there. And so Texas Tech is being shipped out to San Diego for its first round games. It's a little unfortunate for Arkansas because of the type of season that they had, Scotty, but really outside of Fort Worth, there weren't a whole lot of sites that were just real close to Arkansas. I mean, Indianapolis, that's probably a drive that people could make from Arkansas. But outside of that, you're looking at a plane ride anywhere you go.
Yeah, that's what me and Bob on Sunday morning, you know, several hours before the selection show, he called me while I was at church, and we were just trying to figure out kind of what our plan of action would be, you know, if Arkansas got sent to Fort Worth or Indianapolis. And we were like, if it was one of those two places, you know, we were probably going to drive together. Those were obviously places that Arkansas fans could get to pretty easily. You know, I think they're going to show up in Buffalo too. I know Eric Musselman wasn't, I think he voiced kind of his, I don't know if it was frustration, but he was a little bit irritated at the fact that, you know, UConn is a possible weekend opponent for Arkansas, and they're not too far from Buffalo. And Vermont, you know, it's like a drivable distance for Arkansas to like Fort Worth, I would imagine. Or somewhere between Fayetteville and Indianapolis along that route to Buffalo. So, and it's St. Patrick's Day, so there's going to be lots of green in the building on Thursday. Looking forward to a pretty interesting game in that one. I know we'll get into Vermont a little bit later. It's a pretty good team that's used to winning and winning by pretty comfortable margins. They haven't lost in regulation since early December. So, I think Eric Musselman, obviously, anytime you get to the NCAA tournament as a four seed, like Arkansas has been a top four seed in the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, that's something, it's kind of a feather in your cap, something that you can, you know, tell recruits, you know, down the line, like, we're not just getting to the tournament, but we're, you know, last year we made a run, this year, you know, we're back and, you know, a four seed. I think the toughness of this team, both mentally and physically, is going to help Arkansas here, because there's going to be, you know, lots and lots and lots of people in Buffalo that are rooting for Arkansas to go home early.
Now we'll preview Arkansas and Vermont, but first, real quick, we'll take a look back at the SEC tournament in Tampa. Arkansas beat LSU 79-67 in its quarterfinal game. That ended up being Will Wade's final game as LSU's head coach. He was fired, I think it was the next day or maybe 2 days later after the Razorbacks had beaten LSU. Of course, the Tigers had just received their NCAA notice of allegations, long-awaited notice of allegations in that FBI probe that, you know, has really been overshadowing Wade's entire career in Baton Rouge. Arkansas looked really good in that game against LSU, I thought, Andrew, and you kind of expected them to have a really nice weekend in Tampa, but then all of a sudden on Saturday they ran into a hot Texas A&M team, I think an A&M team that a lot of people feel really got robbed, you know, from the NCAA tournament. They didn't get to go to March Madness because they lost to Tennessee in the SEC championship game. It was kind of a weird weekend for Arkansas, but, you know, in some ways I think it was maybe a little bit of a blessing for the Razorbacks, because I think regardless of the sport, sometimes you can exert so much energy on that conference tournament that it can be to your detriment the following week when the NCAA tournament, the one that everybody really cares about and remembers, comes around. And so, you know, in some ways, I think it might have been a blessing for Arkansas that they got a win under their belt and they got a little bit of a wake-up call against A&M that I think may help them in this Vermont game.
I think you're exactly right about the importance of the SEC tournament. I don't think they were really – obviously, they wanted to win the tournament, but I don't think the ultimate goal is – to win the NCAA tournament or make it however far as they can go. And I think that you're exactly right when you said that they maybe needed that kind of kick in the butt that they got from A&M, the A&M loss. When it comes to March Madness tournament time, it's all about who's the hot team and who's playing well at the moment, not what they've done over the course of the season. And so they had that big stretch run where they won 14 of their 15 games. And you thought maybe they might have peaked a little too soon. And then they took the loss at A&M, and I think that's going to give them a chip on their shoulder moving forward.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it'll put a chip on their shoulder. Absolutely. Because, I mean, they had, like Andrew said, they got their butt kicked against Texas A&M, and they kind of got punked in several, you know, key areas of the game. And the day before, you know, after Arkansas beat LSU, I was just like, I wrote about how, you know, Arkansas is just a team that consistently and simply plays tough almost every game. And then they got, you know, out-toughed the very next day. So it made me look brilliant. But, I mean, it's kind of – the SEC tournament is kind of one of those deals where if you're, you know, needing some wins to boost your resume, or if you need to straight up win the tournament, like, it's a big deal. But if you're going into it like Arkansas was as a number four seed, a team that, you know, they could have lost to LSU – but probably 10 points, they're still comfortably in the field. They may have dropped down a seed line, perhaps. So maybe that's where it impacts you most. But, I mean, you got to put all of your eggs in one basket for the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you'd like to win, but, you know, it just doesn't always shake out like that. Something that kind of aggravates me, though, is that, you know, you go to the tournament, and fans, obviously, they want to win the thing, you know, every now and then. And, you know, when Arkansas doesn't, and, you know, they kind of lose the way that they did against Texas A&M, maybe a little bit of doubt creeps in. But Arkansas is not going to be playing games at the SEC tournament the way it is the rest of the year. Like, you're going to have at least a day off in between. And then, you know, if you do make it to the second weekend, you know, your next game comes after, you know, 4 or 5 days off, and then you get another day off after that game if you win it. So, postseason time is just really interesting, but good for Arkansas to get Audis Toney back. I think that was really big. And he, you know, outside of the one time, I think, against LSU, they had to come out and get that foot retaped. You know, he didn't really show any signs of rust whatsoever, I didn't think.
It was kind of surprising to me. I almost thought Arkansas looked like the tired team in its game against A&M, even though the Aggies were playing their third game in 3 days, and one of those three games was an overtime game against Florida in the second round of the tournament. Arkansas just didn't look real fresh for that game. But like Scotty said, they don't have to do that anymore. There's going to be at least one day in between their games moving forward. I thought the A&M game, Scotty, kind of was the recipe for disaster for Arkansas, if you will, in the tournament. It's the one thing that I think could really be their Achilles heel this year. which is their depth. If you're not getting good play out of JD Notae and you're not getting good play out of Jalen Williams, this isn't a very deep team where there are other players who are going to, you know, take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and make up for that lost production. Stanley Amude, you know, can give you a lot of points. He did in the A&M game, certainly, but, you know, not enough to make up for season worst games from Notae and from Williams when you take into consideration that he had 5 turnovers in that game. Notae scored a season low 5 points. And really, you know, one of the things that I thought was troublesome for Arkansas and Tampa was JD Notay's foul trouble. In the first half of the 2 games against LSU and A&M, he committed 5 personal fouls. And I thought it was kind of ironic that at halftime of the LSU game, Eric Musselman was asked about sitting him. And he said, "I never play a guy that's got 2 personal fouls in the first half." And then the next day, their offense is so poor that he commits his 2nd personal foul with 11 and a half minutes. And by 7 and a half minutes, he's back in there. And that's why he had 3 fouls at halftime.
Yeah, Eric's 2 foul participation is extremely, extremely low. And that's something that you can monitor on KenPom. I think it's the percentage of available minutes that a player plays in a half or in a first half, I think, with 2 fouls. And it's somewhere around 10%. So it's very low. It probably rose with the number of minutes that the JD played in the first half against A&M with 2 fouls. I just thought overall A&M just seemed like a more desperate team. Like they looked like they had a lot more to play for. And sometimes, like, that's just kind of all a team needs is just, you know, just something to play for. Arkansas, like, clearly they want to win the tournament, but they, more than anything else, they probably just want to get to the NCAA tournament and make their noise there. A&M's, I mean, they were playing for their tournament lives, beat Arkansas, still didn't make it into the tournament. So that's kind of kicking the gut for them. But that A&M game, I think you're right, just about, it was kind of just a perfect mix of just everything going wrong. And I got an interesting tweet the other day. You know, last season, Seth and I talked to the founder of shotquality.com, and Texas A&M just kind of had everything rolling for it. Like, it was like 50-50 balls became 80-20 balls, and the ball just bounced their way. They just out-hustled Arkansas in so many different areas. But they also, I think, they scored 9 more points than expected on finishes around the rim, which means, you know, they were making some pretty difficult shots that were contested that they normally, you know, don't make. But that's just kind of the role that they were on. And they scored 6 more points than expected on threes too. So you look at that, it's, you know, 15 more points, and, you know, take those away, you know, it's a completely different ball. But yeah, you're right. Like, Arkansas's got to have JD and Jalen play well. Like, neither one of those guys outside of JD against LSU, I would say, although he didn't shoot the ball great, he got to the free throw line a ton, which helped him. And then he had another scoring spurt. But they need those two guys to play really well, obviously. And you mentioned Stan. He's a guy that is a big-time scorer at his previous school. But also, to your point, like, he's not a guy either that I don't think he's going to be like the number one option on your offense, or he hasn't shown the capability to do that, you know, at this SEC level. So that's a little bit concerning, but, you know, Arkansas has been really good taking everything one game at a time, and in the postseason, it just comes down to value and possession and just being smart with each trip down the floor. And I think JD, after fouling out against Baylor last year and the foul trouble he had in the SEC tournament, I think they're really, really going to be on him. Just about, man, you just got to play just much more aware defensively and offensively too, you know, when he attacks the rim.
I can almost guarantee that Musselman has drilled that into JD Notae's head coming into March Madness, that he cannot get those early fouls that he was picking up in the SEC tournament. So I don't think, I would assume we wouldn't see that, but I think when you talk about Arkansas's depth, the word that comes to my mind is streaky. And I think kind of each and every one of their role players can give you, pop off and give you something on one night, and then you look up and they're got an empty box score the next night. I mean, Chris Likes is maybe the human embodiment of the word streaky. I mean, he gave you 15 and 18 against Tennessee and LSU, and then he thought maybe he's rounding into form at just the right time, and he has a dud against A&M with 1 point. And so I think for Arkansas, the key is to get those kind of hot and cold guys all on the same page. And I mean, to me, they're just as likely to get bounced in the first round as they are to make it to an Elite Eight, just because they have such inconsistent players.
Let's look ahead to Vermont now. This is a team that caught my eye over the weekend because of the margin of victory that it had in its conference tournament championship game. I think they, Scotty, correct me if I'm wrong, did they win by 39 points in the America East championship game?
Yeah, they won all three of their games in their conference tournament by at least 30, not nail biters.
It reminds me a little bit of what Arkansas did in their last Southwest Conference tournament, where they beat everybody by 30 or more points. They beat Rice and A&M and Texas, if I believe, that weekend, all by 30 plus points. It makes you wonder about the quality of the teams that they're playing. You know, the America East, you hear the conferences, you know, below the Power Five, or in basketball, maybe the Power Six when you consider the Big East. You hear the conference is referred to a lot as mid-major. I would say the America East is probably a low-major conference, but Vermont, you know, to its credit, has won a lot of games to the point that, and it's got a little bit of a reputation too. I think this is their eighth NCAA tournament in the last 20 years. And so it's to the point that a lot of times when they get into the tournament, they get, you know, on the high side for the teams that are outside the Power Five, you know, so they're a 13 seed in this tournament. But you wonder about the quality of the competition that they played. They haven't lost in regulation since December the 7th against Providence. I think they've only lost one other game since then. It was an overtime game. Really just ran through their conference almost like, you know, a knife through butter. What do you expect from Vermont in this game? And do you think it's a team that can challenge Arkansas? Certainly, I think any team in the tournament can challenge, but I wonder how much you think they're going to be able to challenge Arkansas, Scotty.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that Vermont is going to present Arkansas, like, you can look at all the things that Vermont does well, and you can certainly point to, you know, their three-point shooting, which is, I mean, it was ridiculous in conference play. They shot 41% from three, and, you know, they had, you know, a handful of guys shoot, you know, almost 40% or over 40% from three for the season. It's just, some of those numbers are pretty absurd. But Eric Musselman, like, just a couple minutes after the announcement was made of who Arkansas was playing and where they were going, he was talking the first thing he mentioned after the three-point shooting was, you know, the pace that Vermont plays. You know, they're going to be very, very methodical. And it's probably one of those teams that if you looked at a website like Shot Quality, they probably take really, really good shots. But I think they're probably able to get tons and tons of really good looks because, you know, defenses aren't exactly – know, inside their jerseys, you know, when they're taking these looks. And I wouldn't imagine, I haven't done much research on the America East, but I don't imagine there's too many defensive juggernauts in that league, just given the way that Vermont ran through it. But at the same time, man, you can take all the good shots you want, you still got to make them. And Vermont made them at a really, really high level. And so Arkansas is going to have to be really, really aware and defend the three-point line with some urgency. And I think the most interesting matchup that we're going to see is Jalen Williams against Ryan Davis, their, you know, two-time conference player of the year. I think he's won it back-to-back years. Like, Arkansas is used to playing Jalen Williams in kind of a drop coverage and pick and roll, just because some of the bigs, even though they are skilled in the SEC, they're not really perimeter oriented. Ryan Davis will hurt you from three. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And even beyond Jalen, like, Kamani Johnson is going to have to do the same thing. I just think, you know, the athleticism and the toughness and physicality that Arkansas can bring, I think that's going to wear down on Vermont over time, because they probably haven't seen a team like Arkansas since they played Providence back in December.
To me, one of the keys to the game is going to be how Arkansas can use their length and size to their advantage. Just going through the Vermont roster, they don't have a ton of guys. They got a couple 6'8", but 6'8", 6'9", seems to be the tallest they have. I think Arkansas has a major size advantage with Jalen Williams inside at 6'10", and I think that they get good rebounding from their guards in Note and Devo Davis. And so I think, like you said, Vermont has to miss their shots, but if they do miss the shots, I would assume that Arkansas should be able to hold their own on the glass and not give them good second-chance looks.
It's interesting, if you read Bob's story on the website today, he found some quotes from Vermont's coach after they won the America East Championship game the other day. And I think in the past, you know, they've played a team like Florida State in the NCAA tournament. Florida State's just known for just they mass produce guys that are like 6'8" or 6'7" to 6'9", and they got like eight foot wingspans, and they're really athletic and all that. And they've got some real size to them. I think Vermont's coach, I mean, he basically said that, you know, Arkansas doesn't have that, you know, sheer size in volume, like in mass, on its roster. So I think he thinks that, you know, Vermont's going to have, you know, a pretty good chance to compete with Arkansas on the interior. Just another thing to my point on, you know, Ryan Davis against Jalen Williams. Jalen has been awesome this year, you know, defending 2-point shots inside the arc. Like, he's held teams like under 37% when he's the nearest defender. Ryan Davis finished 80% of his shots within 4 feet of the rim this year. So that might determine the outcome of the game. In my mind, I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's at least, you know, one of the top two or three things to watch out for.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Scotty said earlier that JD Notae was announced third team All-America by the Associated Press this week. It's the fourth consecutive year that Arkansas has had a player on the AP All-America team, but the first in that time frame where the player was not on the honorable mention. Mason Jones was honorable mention in 2020, Daniel Gafford in 2019, and Moses Moody a year ago, the last time Arkansas actually had a player make one of the AP's first, second, or third teams, was Bobby Portis in 2015, JD Notae on the third team this year. And it's really kind of a rarity to see a player make the AP All-America team at Arkansas. The AP All-America team is the oldest continuous All-America team that there is in college basketball. But since 1948, there have only been 18 individuals who have made the AP All-America team. There have been 23 combined All-Americans, because you've had some players like Sidney Moncrief and Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman, Todd Day, who made it on there multiple times. But Scotty, kind of like what we talked about last week, that you've got Notae and Williams having this historic kind of twosome season that we haven't seen since Corliss and Scotty in the mid-90s. It's another illustration that we're seeing a really special season for Razorback basketball, having a player that's on the third team All-America. You just don't see that very often for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I mean, it's I feel like it's pretty rare that one player gets multiple, you know, All-America honors in the same season. Like, JD was, you know, third team by the Sporting News, you know, earlier this month. And I think the Field of 68, which I think Jeff Goodman and some of those guys are a big part of, they named JD an All-American too. And Jeff Goodman was out kind of in front of all the voting for these postseason awards and stuff. Like, after, I think it may have taken Jeff Goodman until the Kentucky game to like give JD Notae his flowers, so to speak. But yeah, JD's made a lot of noise this year, and I just think it's been crazy to me to just kind of follow him since, you know, I remember at a certain point, you know, I think during Eric's first season, maybe when Isaiah Joe was injured and Arkansas was losing, was the year that, you know, JD was redshirting. And so things kind of get a little bit stale in terms of like the day-to-day coverage of maybe a losing team. And so you kind of check in on guys like JD and just kind of see how they're doing. And Eric would say that, you know, his three-point shot's really coming along and he's scoring in bunches and doing all these different things, but he's a little bit out of control at times, maybe need to reel him in a little bit. To go from that to an All-American in a couple of years is pretty special. And that just tells you a lot about, you know, the drive that JD has, you know, not coming from a lot when he was growing up. And I think he's really bought in to and trusted the people that have his back a lot. And Eric Musselman, more than I think anybody in the program, loves JD and has his back and has, you know, he's really guided him kind of in this development into, you know, one of the best players in the country. And JD's just like, he doesn't want to make anything about himself. He's kind of like Jalen Williams in that way. Like if you ask JD to talk about himself, he's going to give you the Jalen Williams answer. It's just like, I just want to help my team win, do whatever I can to, you know, help us win games. And it's just, those two guys they're kind of on a special ride. And JD's got to see, like, he's got the option to come back next season. I don't know that he's necessarily going to do that just because, you know, his role, I feel like, on the team would change with so much, you know, young, fresh talent coming in just in terms of the freshman class. But Eric Musselman's going to hit the portal again. Like, that, you can guarantee that. And so it'd be interesting to see what kind of decision he makes. But, I mean, if this is his last season, he's made it a pretty special one. And certainly he's been a really, really, really huge part of some really big wins and wins that fans will remember for a really long time.
Yeah, we talked earlier about Arkansas's depth and how crucial the role players would be in determining their success in the tournament. But I think it's safe to say that this Razorback basketball team is going to go as far as JD Notae and Jalen Williams take them in the tournament. And, you know, every March Madness, there seems to be that one guy that just has a standout individual performance and kind of wills his team to victory almost on his own, and has that kind of Kemba Walker moment where he just guides the team to victory. And I'm not saying JD Notae is going to do that, but he is a guy that has that capability and that scoring potential to just go off for a 30-point game and kind of just take control.
It's going to be super interesting. I think Jalen, you know, he showed some signs of, like, the ability, like, that he showed last year during their tournament run that he had the potential to be a really unique, special player. I mean, it may have been just like, I remember first and foremost, like the outlet pass that he made to Devo against Texas Tech for the dunk. I remember talking to Jalen's mom, I think a couple of days after that game, and, you know, got some background on Jalen. I was like, tell me about that pass. Like, how can he make that pass? And it's because he played baseball when he was little. He was a third baseman and had a really good arm then. And I found out this year that Jalen's dad, Michael, told me that when Jalen was off topic here, but Jalen, when he was playing baseball when he was little, you know, parents on other teams would look at their schedule and make sure not to park their car in the parking lot behind the field that Jalen was playing on, because he was, you know, really good player. I mean, those are the kinds of stories that kind of pop up when guys have their moment in March. And I think Jalen can have more this year just because he's got experience. And I think his confidence is, you know, even after three games where he hasn't scored in double figures, after I think he scored 15 or 16 in a row, or he did that 15 or 16 times in a row, you know, he's got the potential to do it again. And Arkansas straight up needs him to. And they need the Jalen that was the dominant, consistent force on both ends to come back to, you know, take them where they want to go.
I agree with Andrew's point. It seems like in the tournament, the teams that win always have a really good scoring guard, somebody who can take over the games. And, you know, Notae would certainly potentially fit that bill for Arkansas. Back when I was like Scotty and taking early morning flights to the NCAA tournament a long time ago, I was in Raleigh and I saw it happen when Stephen Curry was at Davidson. They were playing, they played Georgetown and Gonzaga at the same site that Arkansas was playing Indiana and North Carolina. And in those two games, Curry scored 30 points against Georgetown, and he scored 40 points against Gonzaga. Or maybe I've got it backward. Maybe it was 30 points against, but it was 30 and 40. I remember that very vividly. I remember thinking, this is a pretty good little college player, not knowing that, you know, he's going to become Steph Curry. I don't know if I could have ever envisioned that. But, you know, it seems though that you've got to have a really good guard, Scotty, and you've got to have experience. I mean, in this era of, you know, one and done, I guess we're probably about a dozen years into it now, you just haven't seen a whole lot of one and done teams win national championships. Kentucky did it the year they had Anthony Davis. I think Duke did it one year. Kansas has gotten to the championship game some years, although Kansas isn't so much a one and done program. They have those, but Kansas recycles players a little bit better than the, you know, the other blue bloods do. North Carolina, when they won the championship in 2017, there were a lot of older veteran players on that team for Roy Williams. You've got Arkansas in the tournament, and you've got Note and Williams and Devo Davis. They've got that tournament experience. You've got some older players like Stanley Amude and Trey Wade are going to be playing in the tournament for the first time, but they've got some experience. I wonder how much you think the experience that those guys who were part of that team last year that got to the Elite Eight, and you know, some of the older players that are they're now in the program who haven't been in the tournament. I wonder collectively how much you think Arkansas's experience helps this weekend.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps a little bit just in terms of like being on that stage and knowing and being on that stage and knowing that if we don't kind of get things together right now, like we're done. And but I also think on the other hand, like it having that the experience that those guys gained last season, it's valuable, but at the same time, this is going to be a different environment in the tournament this year. Like there were hardly any fans at games in the tournament last season, and this season I feel like fans are probably going to turn out, you know, in droves just because, you know, a lot of them probably feel like they missed out on that, you know, full tournament experience. The players missed out on it too, so it's going to be different all the way around. But I don't think you can put a price ever on postseason experience. Like Devo has not had the year that we thought he would have, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, maybe just being back in this moment like brings some of that back for him. I mean talk about a dude that was instrumental in what they did last year. Like every time I think about Devo in the tournament, I go back to like that spark that he gave Arkansas against Colgate late in the half where he came up with a couple steals that led to buckets, and it just kind of completely flipped the game on its head. Arkansas, I think, went from like down 17 or 15 points to up a couple possessions, and he keyed that. And so maybe he can, you know, latch back onto some of that magic, so to speak. And then obviously the shot he hit against Oral Roberts, like, those moments are good to have played in. Maybe you can carry it into this season. And I'm sure that like the last experience JD had is going to fuel him. I don't think there's any doubt about that because he knows that he can play on this stage and in these moments against, you know, an eventual national championship caliber team. And I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to stay on the floor and give Arkansas the best shot to win.
Yeah, I think it's one thing going into the tournament with a team full of one-and-done guys where they're kind of 18-year-old kids getting thrown into the fire, so to speak, at the tournament versus coming into the tournament with guys like Stanley Amude and Audis Toney who are in their fourth and fifth years of college basketball. They don't have the NCAA tournament experience, so to say, but they've played a lot of college basketball, and I think maybe the fact that they've played – so many seasons without reaching the tournament that maybe this is just extra motivation for them because they know they've spent all that time and now they're finally here.
Now, real quick before we get out of here, New Mexico State and UConn, we mentioned, will play the winner of Arkansas, Vermont. One of those two teams will. New Mexico State, 26-6 this year. They won the WAC conference tournament with a 66-52 win over Abilene Christian in Las Vegas last weekend. UConn, 23-9. They're the 5 seed in the region. The Huskies, of course, from the Big East, you know, blue blood basketball program. no two ways about it. They beat Auburn this year. That was the only team that had beaten Auburn up until Arkansas beat them in Fayetteville. I watched the UConn game a few weeks ago where they hit a buzzer beater to beat Villanova on their home court, and then they went to the Big East tournament and they lost to Nova by 3 points at Madison Square Garden. Real quick, guys, you think Arkansas can make it out of the weekend and potentially to play Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 in San Francisco?
Yeah, I could certainly see that happening. You know, I think if Arkansas does play UConn, that's going to be a war on the glass. Because I'm looking at UConn's KenPom page as a number two offensive rebounding team in the country. Arkansas's, you know, this season I feel like they've been, you know, pretty solid on the defensive glass. So that might be something to watch for. I think that's UConn. I think is obviously the biggest threat. Like, I think Arkansas will get past Vermont, but UConn is. They're the biggest threat to Arkansas this weekend. They've proven that they can play with and beat some really good teams.
Just going off, as we're watching the SEC tournament, the broadcast just kept saying how great Eric Musselman was at finding the opponent's best player and just erasing him from the game plan. And so when I looked at UConn and they have a couple guards in the backcourt that are averaging 13 and 15 a game, but they've got a forward in Adama Sanogo, who averages 15 and 9. I mean, he doesn't shoot the three, but he's a interior presence. And I think if they can keep him from hurting them inside, then they can shift their defensive focus to the perimeter shooting, and they can be successful.
We'll be back with another basketball podcast of Mid-America next week. Regardless of the outcome this week in Buffalo, we'll either be looking back at the Razorback season, we're looking ahead to a Sweet 16 matchup in San Francisco. Also hope you'll check out the Whole Hog Baseball podcast hosted by me and Bubba Carpenter. This week we'll be looking ahead to the Razorbacks SEC series opener against Kentucky this weekend at Baum Walker Stadium. You can find all of our podcasts by searching Whole Hog Radio. That's three words, WHOLEHOGRADIO, on Apple, Spotify, or in most other podcast stores. Leave us a rating or a review and help others find our podcast. Go to wholehogsports.com this week for all of Scotty's coverage from Buffalo. Bob Holt will also be there this week. Lots of coverage leading up to Arkansas, Vermont on Thursday at 8:20. The game will be televised by TNT. Of course, we'll have you covered before, during, and after all of the Razorbacks basketball games in the NCAA tournament. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.